Jalen Jacoby is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony
Rowe. What up, Doe?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together for Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
Give the people! They want.
This is the weekend exclusive podcast from Jalen and Jacoby. We want to give you something to do while you're mowing the lawn or while you're driving around or while you're doing errands or cleaning the house or working out or just partying, getting it in. Because I want to talk to you about the championship parade, Jalen. Because here's what I love about championship parades. Not only do you get the athletes hammered, they've been on a run for like 3 days now. You know, because they had the championship night, right? So that was Tuesday night. You saw Giannis order his 50-piece from Chick-fil-A, hadn't slept yet, okay? So then you know they're going to celebrate the next night, too. So by the time the parade comes around, they're on their third night of celebrating. They probably slept a collective 10 hours in between the final buzzer of the game and the parade. And P.J. Tucker went ham. Everyone's drinking straight from the bottle. I love championship parade so much, and this one was so special for Milwaukee because they hadn't won in 50 years. What do you think of the parade?
I'm so very excited to the fans of Milwaukee. The Deer District is an incredible atmosphere that now is set up to host a championship parade. It was 65,000 people out there, Jacoby, and another 20 inside of the arena. This fan base and having fresh faces in the NBA Finals was so very good for the league. And before I get to your question about the actual parade, this is why you come to the pod exclusive. I'm gonna say about the NBA what I didn't have time to say on the show.
Oh.
So when you look at the logos of the NBA and the NFL, one is a shield, one is a player. One that has the shield treats its players in a monolith, almost like they just show up, they're bots, they wear helmets, kind of like the electric game that we played growing up, right? You plug it in, they zzzz. That's how the NFL treats their players. The NBA treats its players like a partnership. And yes, the NFL is going to be more lucrative with its 17 games and its 70,000 seated arenas and its Super Bowl is going to get more ad money every year. And the games are going to be broadcast on multiple national networks. But you know what the NFL will never have? Two things that the NBA has. Superstars.
I said NFL doesn't have superstars? NFL doesn't have superstars.
Superstars that are more recognizable than the NBA players. That's where I was going. NFL, I might have more Twitter followers than Aaron Rodgers. Let that sink in for a second. And so what now ends up happening is, check out what the NBA just did in 9 months. They just crowned one champion in a bubble. They invited 22 teams to finish the regular season, played, and the Lakers won it without fans. They started a condensed season of 72 games, completed that season, got all of the local revenue. The number 72 isn't arbitrary, ladies and gentlemen. That's so you can get the local TV money. Beyond 72 to 82 is the actual profit. So you finish the regular season, you institute a play-in game. So now we're talking about the Charlotte Hornets and the Memphis Grizzlies and all of the Chicago Bulls and the Washington Wizards, and none of them even made the playoffs. So now the playoffs start. You get to a champion, and it's an international player winning the championship and the finals MVP in Giannis, There was an international player that won the MVP this year in Jokic. So now, anybody listening, tell me the best international football player in the NFL.
You do this all the time, and we always say Joseph Ajayi.
My point exactly. The globalization of the NBA has run laps around the NFL to where it's not even close. And so I bring this up because as the NBA season concludes, before the NFL season even starts, you notice it's already bickering between players in the league. You know what Adam Silver does that is genius? He let petty things slide. He could have fined LeBron James for having a tequila bottle on the front row of the game. They could have did a statement about that. But you just ignore things that aren't really a big deal. You see what I'm saying? Like, why even bring negative publicity to the finals? It's unnecessary. Don't think LeBron didn't get an email. Don't think he didn't get a text. Don't think his representation didn't say, you all know that you can't be having a bottle front row. Now, when Giannis's brother goes into protocol, this is where I was going to. When Giannis's brother goes into protocol, right, you and I know they've had close contact.
I'm not sure.
You and I know before Giannis's brother sat down and took a test, he took a test and the test said he had COVID, he was standing, hugging, and breathing his brother 5 minutes before that.
And technically that should have put Giannis into a 10-day quarantine. Technically.
If his brother tested
positive, technically Giannis, per CDC guidelines, should have had a 10-day quarantine.
And here's why I bring that up. The NBA, it's almost like a political party, right? I'm an independent for a reason, because I don't follow everything everybody blindly says. So don't send me a ballot, right, and think I'm just going to check everything blindly. I'm not going to be able to do it. And so what the NBA does that is genius, they take each circumstance and they evaluate them independently. You remember there was a time if you had close contact with somebody that you had to quarantine for periods of time.
Yeah,
you
notice the Barber for the Sixers.
Yes, but you notice the genius of Adam Silver in the NBA. As the season started to progress, those rules started to lessen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else we stopped talking about? That there are a lot of NBA players that also aren't vaccinated.
Yep.
How about Chris Paul missed 2 games in this year's playoffs?
In the playoffs.
Because of the COVID protocol. And so the NBA is a best-selling book. Grand opening, grand closing. 2 seasons, 2 champions. The NFL ain't even started yet. And you're already going to get ready for the turbulence that is, because you and I know that people are going to test positive for COVID.
Even vaccinated people.
You and I also know that when that happens, whether vaccinated or not, when you start to forfeit games and players start to look down and realize they're not getting paid this week, that's going to be a major thing. We might as well put it at the bottom of the ticker or make it broken news right now. This is the biggest thing happening in sports to me right now, is that we're starting an NFL season with around 1,300 players, and it's going to be chaotic as it relates to who's vaccinated or unvaccinated, who's in the protocol, who's outside of protocol, who's forfeiting the check. And here's the fine print. If we can't reschedule the games during the 18-week period, that's what the NFL told their players to happen if they fail because they were unvaccinated, which means those games ain't getting rescheduled, dog, or y'all ain't getting a bye week. Either way, all bad. Stay tuned.
Or like we saw last year, you're going to have to play Tuesday and then Sunday, or or Wednesday and then Monday. They, like, you know, you saw how they did that last year. Well, we'll see what happens with this NFL schedule. But one thing I do know is that the new coronavirus is less likely to kill you if you have a vaccine, less likely to hospitalize you if you have a vaccine. But that doesn't mean you won't test positive just because you have a vaccine. Let me tell you that.
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mr. Rose, I want to talk to you about something that we're going to be discussing all summer long, and that is rumors of people that are going to be put on the Lakers, right? We're going to talk about this all summer. Now, one of the latest is that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry want to be reunited on the Lakers. Now, Jalen, at some point, we have to start talking about the feasibility of these things happening. You know what I mean? Because, like, at some point, we have to be like, Dame Lillard, Chris Paul, DeMar DeRozan all want to be on the Lakers. It's like, sure they do. But, like, what's the feasibility of both Lowry and DeRozan being on the Lakers? Like, some tells me they're both not going to take veteran minimums just to hang out with each other.
So, for our podcast listeners, we take pride in the television show of having range. So, we're not going to do a 22-minute show and only talk about two topics. We're going to talk about college football, college basketball, NFL football, NBA basketball. We're going to talk about baseball. We're going to talk about what's ever current. And one of the things that we anticipate that we're going to continue to regurgitate over and over again is what Jacoby just said. All of the players that the media is going to put on the Lakers. And by the way, in a minute, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, they're going to be doing it to the Knicks too. It just ain't started yet.
Oh, yeah.
It just ain't started yet. 5, 4, ain't nobody trying to put nobody on the Bucks. Ain't nobody trying to put nobody on the Suns. All the national media want to do. All everybody in the national media.
Sneak in there a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. The national media just got so lazy and they want to put everybody on one team. So now, as a show, since we need to cover this, we're going to do it and make a mockery of it. Because when you get a chance, I want you to look at how much money DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry make to play basketball combined when you get a chance. I believe each of those guys at least make 25 or 30 million.
Oh,
that's
no,
why they broke them up. That's why they had to break up. They had to break up so they both could get their bread.
And someone's got to remind everybody that Kyle Lowry is still in the contract with the Toronto Raptors. And DeMar DeRozan is a free agent, but I don't think his agent is calling up the Lakers saying, yeah, he'll be happy to take the veteran minimum. That $9.5 million slot that you have, he's made enough money in his career. He'll take that veteran minimum, no problem. He'd love to play for the purple and gold.
And here's another team, because the Splash Brothers and Steph Curry are so beloved. The media is also going to put everybody on the Warriors.
Yep.
So this offseason, everybody's going to be on the Lakers, everybody's going to be on the Knicks, and everybody's going to be on the Warriors.
Well, we got to talk about feasibility, right? That's the word that's important to me. It's like, how feasible is this? Is this realistic? And Jalen, I have news. The Warriors, it's pretty realistic. They have players and picks they could trade for a big fish. Now, exactly who that is, I don't think it's Dame. Doesn't really make much sense. But who, like, they could put something together to bring somebody in, because they've got Wiseman and they've got the picks. They've got 7-17, I believe, off the top of my head, 7-14, something like that. Like, they've got a package that they could put together, Wiggins, to get a superstar. So that was actually feasible, to put a superstar on the Warriors. But Jalen, let me tell you the team. Hold on. I'm going to transition. Let me tell you the team, to me, that is most exciting this offseason. The Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets obviously helped. They didn't have their big three, but they also didn't have the perfect complementary roster for their big three. They had some good complimentary pieces. Joe Harris, when he was hitting shots. Let's not let Joe Harris get a pass on his playoff performance either, by the way. But like Joe Harris, when he was playing good Joe Harris basketball. But I think that team, to me, is one of the most interesting this offseason. What role players will they put in place to get the most out of that team that is now favored pretty heavily in Vegas to be the NBA champions?
The additions to the Nets really... First off, I'm going to just throw a name out there before people start talking about him. I love Spencer Dinwiddie. He got game, and he's going to possibly end up somewhere else, and he's going to be an impact player. So they're going to miss him if they lose him, since you asked me about the Nets. So they're going to miss him. But for them, it's health. And getting off to a great start.
Yep.
You can't cheat the process. You can't do it. And James Harden did that and it helped them get traded. But it ended up not working out in the long run. And so I think you're going to also see players that want to go play with them.
Mm-hmm.
But
we saw that. Aldridge, Blake.
Correct. And again, they're going to also always be a part of the buyout market as veterans who are later in their contracts, like you just mentioned with Blake. Here's a player that I'm keeping my eyes on in that market, Kevin Love.
Kevin Love and Claxton are rumored to be sort of pieces that the Cavaliers would not be upset losing or trading.
And so this offseason is going to be awesome. It's going to be intriguing. The Nets are the favorite, and rightfully so. They have Kevin Durant with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. But there's something to be said for chemistry. And we saw that with the Raptors. Y'all know what the Raptors did? What the Tampa Bay Bucks did? They just added Kawhi. Like they added Tom Brady.
One final piece to get him over the top.
They were top two, three, four in the East for years with that
core group. You could say the Bucks did the same thing. I mean, obviously, Drew Holiday isn't the superstar that Kawhi Leonard and Tom Brady are, but you need that one final piece to get you over the top.
And so that's, to me, what the Warriors are going to be in the market for. But let me talk into a microphone to say something about the Washington Wizards. If they trade you Russ and they trade you Bill, they're irrelevant. They're not doing that. Not this season. Not this season.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. It depends what you get back, Mr. Rose. Depends what you get back. You can make an argument that Russ and Beal are not a great complementary duo. You can make an argument that maybe instead of Beal with another ace, maybe Beal with four jacks is going to do you better than, you know, two aces and some numbers. You know what I mean? Like it depends on who you get back. I could see the Wizards actually being better without Russ if they get back some shooting, some defense, and a big.
This is a pivotal moment for their franchise. Because do you, and by the way, not to like count people's bread, but man, that $80 million for Bertans.
Woo!
Woo! Those kind of deals are really what make you now have to do a deal for one of those guys in the backcourt. Because that becomes an anchor that you can't move.
Yeah. Once
you see what I'm saying?
Opposing GMs have no interest in Bertans at that number. You know that's not a good thing at all. A couple stories we got to hit on that happened around the world before we get to voicemails. There's a couple that's getting married, right? And apparently, depending on the value of the gift that you give them, you get a different package of food items at your table. Let me explain. If you give a gift up to like $250, it's called a loving gift. And you get roasted chicken and or swordfish. If you give something up to $500, it's called a silver gift. You can have steak, maybe some poached salmon. Over $1,000, filet mignon, lobster tails. And then a platinum gift which is $1,2,500, you get a souvenir champagne goblet and a bottle of champagne. Soft move or boss move, giving different gift tiers at your wedding.
That's definitely a boss move.
No!
That's definitely, hey, let me tell you something. As somebody that's had people reaching and counting and grabbing at my pockets for the last 35 years, let me tell you something, dog. This is a boss move. This is a boss move. Everybody that show up ain't equal. That's a flat out fact. You got a table of people that's gonna be closer or sitting closer. Why? Because they're more important, right? So okay. If they're so very important, they need to give a better gift. That's all this is. You give a better gift, you get more access. This is a boss move. This is the future. This is the future.
You might as well sell tickets. You might as well sell tickets then. So I will say this is one thing that I tell people getting married is, number one, one of our regrets in our relationship is we spent too much money on the wedding. We spent too much on the wedding. This gets out of hand. You know what I mean? We spent too much on the wedding. We wish we had all that. You know, we had an engagement party that we put $600 down at the bar and said, beyond $600, people pay for themselves. Our engagement party was fantastic. It cost us $600. So all of a sudden you have a wedding cost us way, way more, and we wish we didn't spend that much. That being said, is I tell people, don't think you're gonna recoup the money with the gifts. You're just not. That's just not how it works. I used to give like a $100 gift before I got married. After I got married, the number went up because I know how hard it is to pay for a wedding. But I just don't wanna have to put a price on things like that. And also, chicken for $250 and then steak for $1,000, I'm good. I'm not incentivized enough right there. I think I need more incentive. You gotta package it like that. You gotta do more than just give me a better plate of food. You gotta give me more than just a better plate of food.
Jacoby, you sound like a happily married American man with 3 kids that don't have people in your phone right now freeloading off of you.
Not a couple.
The more freeloaders you have in your life, the more you love this. This is the trend. This is the future, dog. I'm telling you. This is the future.
You know, this show is just a long con. It's just to build a relationship with you so I can hit you up for like a $10 million loan in like 2030. I'm going to have a whole business proposal and everything.
This is the future, fam. Dog, okay. Let me tell you this. There was once upon a time when people went to the nightclub and the table that was closer to the happenings or the dance floor or whatever used to cost the same as the table behind it. And then somebody realized this is better real estate. It should cost more. The same thing with the bottles. You remember we used to go to the club and a Grey Goose bottle was like $55? Now that same table and that same Grey Goose bottle, depending on where you are, it could be $500. It could be $1,500. In Vegas, it's $1,600 before you even walk in the door.
I went to the club with two of my friends, three dudes, and they're like, yo, you guys should come in. You have to get a table. We're like, all right, well, how much is the table? They're like, it's a 2-bottle minimum. And we're looking at like, well, there's 3 of us. Do you really want us to go in there and drink 2 bottles of liquor? Like, is that really what you want inside?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And how about this? This is where I'm getting to the point. And so when the bottle used to be cheaper and the real estate at the spot wasn't more expensive, you know what people used to allow? Strangers to come sit from their bottle or strangers to come sit in their seats or in their booth. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking around, Jacoby. I just spent $2,000 on a bottle that's worth $100. And I got like 10 people that just couldn't wait to come be sharks on the bottle. Picking up, hey, ordering stuff. You know, I got cranberry. Somebody else like, hey, can you bring an OJ? Somebody else like, can you bring a pineapple? And I'm looking around. I don't even know y'all. And I realize they belong to the club. They belong to the club. You're being 3-card Monty. They're all together. And so, yes, this is a boss move. Yes, remember, I told you this is the future. And I'm going to say this last but not least. This is definitely my future. I made a promise to myself when this season ended. All of the individuals that's on scholarship in my phone, they about to start paying taxes.
He said on scholarship. Oh, we love to hear from you. Call 985-80-JALEN. You can be a part of the show. We'll put you on the show just like this.
What up, though, Jalen and Jacoby? This is your boy Devin from Texas. I'm sitting out on my front porch enjoying the NBA Finals, having a little beverage, man. I'm drinking some sake. And I know Jalen likes sake, man. I'm just trying to see. I took the sake home from the restaurant because it came in a bottle. I wasn't expecting that. And when I ordered it, I got all these questions I wasn't expecting. Man, they asked me, do I want it hot or cold? Do I want milky sake or clear sake? Let me know what I should have ordered, man. I went with the milky sake in a little bottle, and it's not bad, man. But I know I was a little scared of the hot sake. Just explain the sake experience to us, Jalen, please. Yep, medicinal.
Whoa! Wow, sir, you have come to the right place. You have reached the senior sake analyst, not just of ESPN, but of the world. Jalen Rose does not eat sushi. But if he can't walk past the sushi restaurant because he loves hot sake so much, doesn't even eat sushi. You can put in front of him the finest sashimi in the land. Will not take a nibble, but will sit there and drink two bottles of hot sake. So please, senior sake analyst, Jalen Anthony Rose, bless this man with your sake analysis.
Get your hands up against the wall and spread them. I got you. Got you. Here's the deal. I'm not a fan of the milky sake because what's the term I'm looking for? It seemed like you can scoop whatever's in it with a spoon, and I don't like
that. It's viscous. It's a little more viscous.
Yeah, viscous. Yeah, I don't like viscous. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But if you're gonna have viscous, because I've clearly had it, you want that cold. So you did that right. But you haven't enjoyed life until you had hot sake. You're missing out on life. You're not even, like when people like Jacoby have his Miller Lite or his Bud Light, or when other people want to have their mixed drink and their cocktail, let me just tell you something about the sake experience. You can do it earlier in the day. You can do it indoors or outdoors. You can do it whether it's warm or cold outside. And it's versatile. It is unlike red wine and don't get all on your teeth. You know what I'm saying? It's a paste drink. I love it so very much.
You want to know what's so cultural about sake? Two words. The most cultural thing about sake that only people like me even know what it is. Sake bomb. You ever had a sake bomb?
All that is a shot, right?
No, you take take a glass and pour it up, fill it like half with beer. You take that little sake cup, you drop it in there, and then drink it all at once.
Hit the brakes, Rich.
You heard me right. You're not gonna walk me off this. It's delicious.
I got a public service announcement for my white American brothers. You're the only people that care about chugging beers. I promise you. You're the only people that care. Is that fair assessment?
What do you mean? Yeah. Listen, everyone's got their thing. Everyone's got their strengths. You know what I mean?
I'm just asking.
Yeah, everyone develops their own skills. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have waves in our hair, but we can chug some beers. You know? But you know what? You know what? It's like, as a card-carrying white guy, I can't really chug my beers, man. I really can't. I get too much burps, too much bubbles. Like, I'm just not one of them dudes. Like, I've never entered a chugging contest. I just can't do it. I'll chug a beer. I'll shotgun a beer, but I can't really chug.
Hey, but you know what? If chugging beers had the Forbes list looking a lot different, then I'll be chugging them too.
No.
It seems like it works. Well, it seems like whatever y'all doing is working. Because y'all got the Forbes list on lock.
Well, Jalen, I'm going to make you do a sake bomb next time we're at the sushi bus.
Definitely.
I'm going to make you do one.
Oh, by the way. But I haven't had a sake bomb, but I've had many black and tans.
Those are good. Those are good.
I have many black and tans.
That's a white man's dream. That's a good white man's dream.
It is. I got you, right? I got you.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget when I gave you your first michelada. Your first michelada. He looked at it. He was like, what is this? Like, what's in this? He had no idea. You didn't even know. Like, is this? Like, what is this? What is this thing?
I was a virgin. You popped my cherry. When you exposed me to that. Like Dugan Fife did when he turned me on to Jaeger. I went to the frat house. I had my little Cisco bottle. You know what I'm saying? I'm BYOB. And all of a sudden, I had them drinking it and tasting it, and I realized it was gone. So I was like, all right, let me try some of that Jaeger. And I liked it. It was a pacemaker drink from the Hennessy or Cognac.
We will be back on Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.